Hey, Dara, how are you?
Hey, Seth, I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for joining me this week on the Space Explored podcast. Maybe people probably haven't seen Daryl around because he doesn't show his voice that often. I think we did an episode like back in like November or something together. So,
yeah, something like that. It's been a while, but it's good to be back.
So Daryl,
making an appearance.
Daryl and I have been friends for a while, and we do a podcast on Monday nights. Not now, coming back in maybe about a couple more weeks, but we did it all last year, got wrapped on scheduled discussions. So we've been doing that. It's a little loose, so whatever happens this week happens.
Yep, exactly.
So
that's a very polite description of it. I'm impressed. I like it.
Oh yeah, we've had some crazy nights. Ruds is pretty much it's called Ruds, wrapped around scheduled discussions. So yeah, it's pretty much just us two just talking about space and photography, and sometimes we have guests on that are cool. So
yep.
Let's get into the news this week. So
all right,
we're gonna go all the way back, because I think last time we recorded this, Jared and I think we did on a Tuesday, and then Starship happened on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So SN10 finally flew. If I think back, yeah. I think it had a abort due to the I think it was a range violation or something.
No. This one was a an abort due to excessive thrust.
Oh, that's like right.
Too good.
That's right.
Yeah.
Excessive thrust.
SN9 was the range violation.
That's like something. That's right. Of course, it's like something like that's such a SpaceX thing. We had too much thrust. Excessive thrust. Too much. So they just changed the values, and they ended up going like right at the end of the window. Relatively similar for like the SN9 and SN8. Mm-hmm. The only difference this time is that I need to find that tweet. Because apparently this is basically just a suggestion from Twitter. Mm-hmm. Is to light all three Raptors for the flip and then shut two of them, or one of them off.
I think that was Elon thinking out loud on Twitter. I could be wrong on that, but I think he was just like thinking out loud on Twitter.
He was thinking out loud, and then someone... What?
No. He was thinking out loud, and maybe he said to, I don't want to say said to himself, said out loud on Twitter that, maybe we should start.
No, he was thinking out loud. It's someone actually tweeted, like, why don't you light all three, choose the best two, and then choose those. And he goes, because we were too stupid. Like, that was his reply to that, pretty much. And so basically what they did was similar. They lit all three. It launched before it reached 10 kilometers. They were like kind of shutting them down, eventually got to one, and then hovered for a little bit. The hover was way shorter than the last two.
Yeah.
And there was someone with a stream too that like it, the SpaceX stream was like one of the camera videos was like delayed. I felt like.
Yeah, I happened to watch it again earlier today.
This is like a really lightly produced live stream. Someone forgot to mute John Innsbrucker as well for a bit of it.
But thankfully, and it speaks to John Innsbrucker's character that like he did not say any kind of weird things you hear about with hot mic incidents.
Oh yeah,
no, he was
the only
super
thing I think that
kind of
he said
is.
That was like technically I think like a leak or whatever, like something we didn't know, was I think the altitude. Maybe the altitude was in there was something he said. I remember what it was that he was saying. I have to go back and watch. There was something he said about like something at 10 kilometers, something like that they were doing. That we didn't know. Oh yeah, they were using the at 10 kilometers, they were already using the header tanks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Which was
That's right.
Which was different. I don't think we've ever like he mentioned something about them using fuel from the header tanks as it was approaching 10 kilometers. So but no, I love that John Innsbrucker is just doing the Starship streams. It's great. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
So
he is.
As it fell back down, they lit three engines, flipped the vertical, and then they shut two off. That's mm-hmm. because, once you have three engines lit, you're producing more thrust, so you can't keep those. You no longer can use a two engine for landing,
right?
Which I feel like is as another failure point too, because that was the whole point of lighting two was in case one, I don't know.
It well, did. Also, speaking of camera views, you can actually see where they start all three and then they decide, all right, these are the two we're cutting off. Not they, Starship itself decided, but it's like, yeah. All right, we started all three. Cool. I'm going with these two or this one. I'm going to shut off these two. Mm-hmm. And that camera view that caught that ever since SN8, like, my gosh, I love that camera view. It is looking straight up at it. Like, the thing is falling I think that's, straight at you.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't think that. I can't remember if that's the one on Starhopper or the one that's on the pad. It looks like a pad view. But yeah. I don't know if they actually have a camera on the pad. I haven't been there in a while. But, yeah, so they had the 1-inch. It did. It landed vertically.
It did.
And then it flew for a second time.
Yeah, it's the first Starship to fly twice. I'm sure that's an internal joke that's going around too.
I'm sure that it's also an external joke that's going around too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think so. Apparently, according to Elon on Twitter, he shared that that there was some helium ingestion with the mm-hmm. final engine through the header tank, which is another issue. I think he just like said, like, yeah, it's an issue.
He also made mention of the fact that the legs themselves were still an issue. He hates the way the legs work right now.
Yeah.
And when it came down and landed the proper way, it was leaning. Yeah, you could see it from multiple different views.
Yeah, it definitely did not. Leaning. Yeah, it definitely did not land on the landing legs. It was on the skirt and it was leaning a little bit. And apparently the engine cut off about like a half a second or a second before touchdown. As you can see it accelerate down and then in slow motion, you can see it bounce.
Yeah, it bounced.
Which something that large shouldn't bounce.
I caught it in real time. I saw it in real time.
Yeah.
And it bounced.
And slow motion is even better.
Yeah.
But,
well, I'll say I saw it on subsequent watches. I was just too excited in real time. And I'm watching it on the screen with everyone. I was watching it on my phone at work. And, you know, I wasn't there to actually see it, and I was still excited for it. So when I watched the subsequent replays that night, I thought I saw a little bit of a, I don't want to say a bounce, a little bit of a hop. A hop, skip, or a jump, whichever you want to call it.
As soon as I saw that, I go, like, yeah, that's not good. That's not good. That thing's going to go. Because there's a lot of venting underneath that, and I'm assuming there was a bunch. One, just a bunch of venting coming through there, plus also probably damage to vents. And I had like I had like most of the streams open. I remember one person saying like, I think there's probably a methane leak. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably valid. And we put Tim Dodd's reaction in there because I thought it was funny because he was just talking. He was closing down his stream pretty much, like plugging the merch and doing all that stuff. And all of a sudden it blows up. He goes, whoa, wait, what? And
what just happened? I saw that too.
And it was just hilarious. And it just was leaking some methane, and eventually the methane leak found its way to a flame, which pretty much goes, boom at that point. So it flew another like probably about like what 50 meters probably.
And then like
back
that.
Down.
Yeah. And speaking of that little mishap right there, our show, Rapid Unscheduled Discussions, is changing its name to Rapid Unscheduled Second Hop.
Okay. I like that one.
I couldn't resist. Totally joking, because that's such a hard name to say. We're not changing the name. It's a good joke, though.
Rapid Unscheduled One Hop. even like so, SpaceX's are like, it's like unfazed pretty much with
it. They are.
They already moved out SN11 on the pad, and they did some cryo-proofing this week. I think there were some talks of supposed to be a static vert yesterday. And eventually it just never happened. So I think the road, I think they got the soft checkpoint up. I don't think they ever actually did a hard checkpoint at the road and closed the road. But notices did go out to residents Thursday night for it. So right now, static fire is no later than Monday. There is a road closure for it, I believe. We just have to wait tomorrow and then see if there's notices to residents. And then if everything goes to plan with like flight readiness review and FAA approval, which was troublesome for 8 and 9, but 10 seemed pretty smooth. We could see a flight Tuesday. There's a TFR for Tuesday. If they do it, I mean, if they can launch this rocket with a single static fire, that'd be a first. Yes. I don't think none of the rockets have been able to launch with a single static fire. So
I would not
put money on Tuesday. I wouldn't even probably put money on Wednesday. Maybe end of the week at the latest is what I'd put
a small bet on the end of the week.
Yeah.
Just with the way it goes. But that's for this particular one. And you notice how much faster this cadence is getting. I mean, and you just said they're unfazed by what happened with SN10, already moving on to SN11. Remember what Jim Bridenstine used to say? This is why we test, to figure all this stuff out.
And they're testing they're testing at crazy speeds. So,
oh yeah, they are.
They're learning a lot and they're changing a lot. So we're SN11 is here. SN15 is up next. They skipped 12 to 14.
What?
Yeah, they did. Did you not know that?
I'm not able to pay attention as much as I used to.
Yeah.
I'm just busy doing the day these days,
They did have like 12 and 13 parts, and then eventually I think we saw like scrap on the side, or they just like disappeared, and we started seeing way more like SN15 parts. So,
well, didn't Elon say that SN15 was going to see like major design changes? Maybe not to the overall shape, but internals.
It could possibly see so the 3 millimeter thickness instead of 4 millimeters. That's what the thickness of the steel they use on right now is 4 millimeters.
Okay.
SN7.3, I think it is. No, 7.2 is currently out there at the launch site pad. It's a test tank. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's still there. It's seen some stuff. All right. It's Starhopper is used to watching things explode, but 7.2 is a baby and it's seen dead people.
Hopper and Popper. That's what they are. Yeah. It's Hopper and Popper.
I think they're still. I think they're planning still on doing more testing with it. I'm not sure, but that uses a 3 millimeter thick steel, so that will save a lot of weight on future missions. So SN15, I think it's going to be. Yeah, it looks like it's going to be using a whole bunch of different upgrades for it. That's why they skipped 12 to 14.
Well, and here, then they have parts those all landing the way. Legs are better.
Yeah, they have parts all the way to SN20 being seen.
Yeah.
As well as booster number one is started stacking, and booster number two has like a dome somewhere that someone saw. I haven't seen anything else yet.
That's what I was about to say. We're starting to see booster number one come to life.
Yeah, yesterday. I think it was yesterday. It was yesterday or Thursday. They did, they moved it into the high bay. Both pieces are now in the high bay. They stacked. They had, I think, the top half completed, and then they just finished the bottom half. So they're gonna move that on top, and I'm like, it's insane. Like that thing's gonna be insanely tall.
Yeah, the thing's gonna be insanely loud because you know they're gonna light up all of them.
Yeah, well, that one will only have. I think that one will only have two Raptors. So that's not gonna have all the. I don't think they have the Raptors yet to actually
that's
do.
True.
I think it's like 30 or something on the bottom of them.
27, like, I mean, if I remember right. 27, 30, yeah. Somewhere in that ballpark. It's
27, the 30-something. It's been changing over years. And I don't think they have the Raptor production up high enough to actually get 30. One, they keep on finally getting three good ones, and then they, you know, crash them. So I mean, it's hard to keep well, them alive.
And if you think about it too, those crashes are because of the Raptors.
Yeah, because the Raptors are doing so well, and also because they kind of suck. Yeah, at the same time.
Oh yeah, let me see you build one.
Yeah, no, no. So yeah, we should be seeing, and the BN2 I think will have four. So okay. I don't know. Yeah, I'm assuming. We won't see much. I mean, the testing with the boosters, I don't even know what the testing will look like just because they're they're the same thing as like SN2 and SN3 and 5 and 6 that we saw last year.
Yeah,
just they're a little bit taller. So no idea what they're going to be doing.
Like, they're about, what, 20% taller or something like that? I don't know the exact percentage.
They're about twice as tall.
It's two times.
So okay. Minus the, I think it's like a 30% taller if you include the nose cone.
Yeah,
it's twice as tall if you don't have the nose cone. Yeah.
Yeah, I was including the nose cone.
Yeah, I think it's like a third. I think it's like 30% taller or something. Like, it's insane. Like, it's almost as tall as like a Saturn V. So they're insanely tall.
Wonderful. Love it.
This week has all this. So that was the week before. Now we're at this week, which has been actually kind of busy for space. I mean, SpaceX again, because I might possibly see three launches within a week, which I think is a record.
Now, are you counting Starship?
I'm counting 21 tonight.
Okay.
Three Falcon 9 launches. Three orbital launches.
Three Falcon 9s. Okay.
Yeah. So last Sunday, correct? Sunday.
Was it Sunday?
Launch 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I believe it was Sunday.
It was 17.
Yep. So the troublesome launch L-17 for Starlink lifted off last Sunday from 39A. It's been like sitting there for like 2 months, I think.
Something like that.
Some insane amount. It just like kept on having issues and pushbacks and I don't know. And that was on Booster 1049. That was the second eighth flown mission, or it was seventh flown before it launched, and now it landed on, of course, a solo view and made it eight times. Mm-hmm. So that tied with B-1051 for the most flights. Those are the two life-leading boosters. And we'll talk about that one a little bit. And then, oh gosh, when was this one? Was this Wednesday night, Thursday morning, right?
It's something. It was the middle
of the night.
Yeah, like
3 o'clock in the morning.
And
yeah,
unless
it's
you're
nice.
Out there covering it as press, nobody would fault no you one for would, going ahead and sleeping through.
I wasn't even awake. Like, I went to bed. We had our photographers out there. I live in Wisconsin now. I just went to bed. All right.
I had to be to work at 7 in the morning. And, like, mm-hmm. I love you, SpaceX. If this was, like, a crew mission or something like that, maybe. But
oh, yeah.
It's a Starlink.
Different.
I'm
it's
going
a Starlink.
To bed.
I'm going to bed. Yeah, so that was launch 20. So 17, we've got delayed so much that 18 and 19 already launched.
Mm-hmm.
So 20 launched on early Thursday morning on Booster 1058, which is the DM2 booster.
Mm-hmm.
And then that one, they've been shuffling. That was just read the instructions drone ship that landed on, and they just as that one landed, like the day after, I think it was Thursday, they sent Of Course I Still Love You back out after getting the booster on there, because launch 21 for Starlink is coming up tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that tonight? Tomorrow morning, 6:01 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. By the way, who's looking forward to losing an hour of sleep? Because you know I am not. So,
doesn't matter to me. I don't have to wake up early on Sunday. I'll just sleep until I'm done.
Yeah, I have to be somewhere at 7:30 a.m. tomorrow. So I'm not looking for. Yep. And this will be on 1051, which we talked about, was the other life leading booster. This will be the first ninth flown or attempt for a ninth flown mission.
Mm-hmm.
Little side story. This is like my favorite booster, because this flew DM1, which was my first streak back in 2019.
They should all be your favorite booster.
No, this one's special.
All right, people can have an exception for the worm booster.
This was my I can't remember. So this is my first one. Flew DM1, RadarSat, a bunch of Starlinks, and then the last mission I think it flew on. Oh, it was a Starlink, and then the one before that was Sirius XM7.
That's
so that
right.
was this has been my first. So I didn't even notice it after that flew.
You know what?
I wasn't really keeping track of booster numbers. I looked at it today and I go, that was my first streak and also my first press site Falcon 9.
And you know what? It was my first engine shot as a photographer.
Yeah.
from
that
the
was
so,
yeah
okay so, so yeah it's a special booster to me
it's
too.
A special booster. I'm excited. I'm hopefully at the I'm looking forward to hopefully see this one fly.
Yeah, and it, you know, going back to that troublesome 17 for a second, that was another one that was in the middle of the night that a lot of people, again, slept through. Don't blame you. But I went and watched the webcast afterwards. And so you had, it was at night. There was cloud cover, not the kind of cloud cover that.
Oh, yeah. That was
launch.
Like the worst cloud cover. Like that was like if you didn't get a picture within like the first 3-4 seconds of like liftoff, you weren't getting a photo of the booster.
Exactly. So you had cloud cover at night. And on top of that, there was no first stage camera views on this one.
Really?
Remember that? Yeah, it was a tweet that somebody tweeted it. It was either Elon or SpaceX, or they said it in the webcast. Yeah, they said it in the webcast the first time they scrubbed, and then they said it again on the webcast that launched, that there were no first stage views. So a couple seconds after liftoff, it disappears into the clouds, and you got nothing but a black screen and the overlay on it for like 3-4 minutes. Something like that until second stage lights up and it has its cameras and you just watch that the whole time. And then of course you watch the drone ship landing and that's it.
Like, yep.
It was so awkward just to like, you hear the sounds, you hear the folks talking. They did a good job. They did a good job. Yeah. They're really good. They picked some good people internally to do that, but it's just talking from a black picture. It was weird. It was so weird. I don't know, but yeah, that was another weird thing about 17 and 20 earlier this week. I had it on while I was working, so I didn't sit there and watch it the whole time, but I believe that was the same thing. If I remember correctly, I'm gonna have to go back and check it, but
no, 20 had, 20 was pretty clear.
Was it?
I remember some of the photographers like Michael Seeley and John Krauts got like the shots of the Milky Way.
I'm talking about the onboard camera.
Oh,
I know. Yeah. I know it's at night, but you usually see stuff when the engines are running.
Yeah, I know. I didn't even watch that one at all. Like I didn't even rewatch it. So
I'm wondering if we're seeing, you know, I don't want to call it a policy, but if we're seeing like a routine change from them, like if they're not showing first stage camera views or anything like that at
maybe,
all anymore.
Maybe there's something with because it's a Starlink mission. They're trying to make these as like cheap as possible for them, so they might not be having producers on that monitoring those cameras. That might be it, or they might be just removing them because like maybe those are breaking or something. I don't know. Like, It's obviously a good reason. Like they want to do it. Just it's SpaceX. They're not going to do something because they don't want to share it. They're going to do it because like it just doesn't make sense at the moment.
Right. And camera views like these, you know, they share this stuff with the public on the webcast. But these are also, you know, stuff that engineers use to actually review what's going on. So it's not like it's a, oh, we don't need to show this to the world. Let's take it off.
That's probably what I think is something like production, like live stream production wise. They're probably like, maybe they're slimming down the team for these Starlink launches.
Yeah. It's either a production thing or my thought is maybe they don't want to, you know, show off to the world what happened in case they lose a booster. Because you remember one, I think it was late last year, where an engine exploded in flight and everybody was able to pick out what the heck happened to it and the landing was screwed. Heck, we just lost another one recently.
I mean, they live stream their Starship stuff, so I think they're pretty fine with things exploding.
They also say left and right that it's testing. Well, I don't know. We'll see what happens with this next one coming up later tomorrow morning. We'll see.
So we have two more Starship. One is Starship. Two SpaceX news things. We'll cover real quick.
No, just one.
No, we got two. All right. First things up.
You already talked about SN11.
Yep, one right below that one.
Oh, that.
So,
okay.
Yeah, first one up is West Coast drone ship recovery is most likely returning. So this was like a day. If you like, I just luckily someone screenshotted them and posted them on Twitter. That's how we saw them. But because SpaceX removed the job postings like right when it broke. But as we all know, right now, both drone ships are on the East Coast. Just read the instructions, and of course, I still love you. Just read the instructions. Originally was on the West Coast and was handling West Coast recoveries.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the recoveries could have landed back at the back of their landing pad, but they didn't have clearance from California to do that yet. So they were doing a bunch of that, and they got clearance for that. And I think the last, I think it was 2019. I think beginning of 2019 was the last time we saw a drone ship landing out there. After that, they moved.
It was 2018.
Yeah, that's right. It was 2018.
It was early 2018 because mid to late 2018 is when it was here in Louisiana, and I was going to check on it personally.
That's right. That is right. Yeah. So that's when they shipped it over, did some upgrades, and then moved it to the West Coast. I'm sorry, East Coast. And they posted some job postings on their website. Someone, I don't remember who it was. I think it was Reagan from McGregor area. She, I think it was her who posted them. And they were basically three job postings for recovery engineers, offshore refurbishment engineers, pretty much. There were three different ones, one for fairings, and then one offshore drone ship. So, which is interesting because what drone ship are they going to use? Because just read the instructions and of course I still love you are pretty much tied up here in East Coast wise.
Yep.
And the only other drone ship that has been teased is, and we don't really know anything about it, is a shortfall of gravitas, which Elon Musk has been, just cryptically, hinting towards that they're going to do a third drone ship, and that's what it's going to be named.
And he hasn't mentioned it in a long time. Been about a year since he said anything about it.
Yeah, so this could possibly mean that they're nearing completion on that, starting construction on it, or something.
We'll know. What's up with the drone ship situation? Because we'll see one of two things. Well, we'll see one thing happen. We'll see the wings come off of Just Read the Instructions because they need to be on the deck to go through the Panama Canal because that's what it did last time. Or it'll just sit there. We'll get closer and closer to these launches. And then suddenly, hey, new drone ship. Hi. So if you see the wings come off of really either drone ship, because both of them have,
I would put money on if they do. If they were going to put one, I would say they're probably going to put Just Read the Instructions back just because that was the original.
It doesn't really matter
at all.
So and they both could of do them have one. Done time on the West Coast.
Oh, that's true. That is right. Both have done. But
both have done time on the West Coast. So either one could go.
Yeah. And there are three, I think there's three launches this year from Vandenberg. And they, one's Transporter 2 was originally here. And apparently now it's saying it's going to be at Vandenberg, which makes sense. The Kennedy Space Center, Cape Canaveral Space Force Station range is pretty busy. So if you can launch, having that polar window is nice for possibly like crewed missions, but for cargo missions, it just makes sense to probably do from Vandenberg just because they see like one launch a year. So pretty smart to do that on the west side. So we'll get closer to those and maybe we might see, an announcement or something from SpaceX that they have a new drone ship or
it'll just appear on a webcast.
That's what I was going to say. It might just all of a sudden we get to a launch of like, it's like Transporter 2 like launch and they're just saying, and the booster 10 insert number here will be landing on the shortfall of gravitas drone ship in the Pacific Ocean. Like,
we'll see.
The only thing is they're going to need more ships over there because they only have NRC Quest.
Well, and they can contract.
I'm sure they can contract out. I don't remember how many because they're gonna have. NRC Quest has done some fairing recovery. From I think it was, I don't remember what mission flew last year from Vandenberg, but they recovered those fairings. first time from the West Coast, so they might be doing ferry recovery, and they might have to get another boat to tend to the drone ship. So it will be interesting to see what happens. But yeah, basically, yeah, they did remove the job posting. So if you're looking to apply to them, I don't think they're there anymore. So at least last time I checked.
You know what it probably was? They probably knew somebody on the outside that they wanted to bring on. They said, hey, we're putting these job postings up today. Go apply for it so we can take it right back down. And that's probably what they did.
Yeah. Or someone accidentally posted them and someone found them. They say, oh, no, remove them.
I've seen that in the corporate world before. It's like, hey, you want this job?
Yeah.
Here's a posting. Apply for it fast and we'll take it right back down.
Yeah. So, So final SpaceX news we have today is an expansion of the Boca Chica area. So we're back to Starship now. They released plans earlier this week to make modifications to their permit they have down there. And Jared Bass, he wrote a good article. He's our public, you know, our planning guy, our permit guy, pretty much. He actually understands that stuff. I look at those documents and I just go, like, I don't know what I'm looking at. So he made a little overlay of a Maxar image and with all the things. So they're adding, there's some flooding areas for for wastewater, I think is what it actually is for, pod.
Water retention. You see some levees around the area.
Because that floods. It definitely floods.
There's plans for a new tank farm.
Yep. Orbital pad. Tank farm, a second orbital pad, and a second landing pad, which will be further back, not on the road. Right along the side of the road. I mean, that thing has, when I was down there in December, it was, the pad was probably half the size. The landing pad was like half the size. Pad B was brand new pretty much. I don't think that was ever used yet before SN9, I think. They did static fires. For like SN, I think it was like 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 and 7 or something. I don't know. They have the test tanks out there. They're building up, they've built up more of the wall. They've added more cement everywhere. So that is building up to be quite a launch complex. The only thing I think they should really add to this is because how much more traffic that road sees now. Boca Chica Boulevard, they really need to do an expand, like a redo of that road, because that is a beat up road. You get down towards where SpaceX is at, and not just because like SpaceX's traffic, like of moving the starships and just driving back and forth between the launch pad and the manufacturing area. The amount, like, semis are just nonstop down there.
Right.
And that road, I don't think, was built with semis in mind. And so, there's potholes like crazy down there.
Oh, yeah. And it would definitely behoove SpaceX to take care of that road for the county. It seems like they already have a good working relationship, to my knowledge, with Cameron County in Texas. So to do something like that would just help them out. Say, hey, we've been beating the heck out of this road. We're going to take care of it for you because we need it to be in good shape anyway.
Yeah. You know? And I assume they would have, I mean, they would be involved if there was the county or I can't remember if it was a county or a state highway. I know it's a state park. I don't remember if the road is, I believe it's also state. I don't know if you've ever lived in a city with a lot of construction. Oh, wait. Yeah, you live in Louisiana. So I assume New Orleans. I assume you do.
Constant road construction everywhere. Good Lord.
It takes forever to get something done. When it's a public thing, it takes so long. And that would SpaceX would probably just say, like, hey, if you're going to do that, it's going to impede us. So let's how about we get the contractor, you give us some money, and we'll cover the extra. How about that? Like,
dude, I tell you what, with how fast SpaceX builds rockets, if they would get into the road repair business, good Lord.
I mean, they're getting into the tunneling business. Why don't they get Boring Company out here and just do they have to build technically a road underground, so they probably can build a road above ground.
I've seen imagery from the area that does not look like solid ground or anything like that. I don't think you want the Boring Company boring anything over
there. Well, no, they want to be boring holes. They can just build the road. They got to build the road inside the tunnel. You can just build it on top of the ground now. It's half as hard.
That's true.
That's going to be nice to see all those upgrades pop in, because that is looking like a real spaceport at this point how much they've put in.
It looks more spaceporty than Spaceport America. I mean,
that's nice.
I'm sorry, that's a cheap shot. Spaceport America will get there.
Spaceport America is awesome. We love you guys. So yeah,
they will get there one day. They're doing their own thing.
So back on the East Coast, we saw an addition to Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex this last week, which has been awesome. We've been waiting on this for a few years now, I think. Mm-hmm. So do you guys, we all know the Delta IV Heavy. Some people know about the Delta III. We're not going to talk about that right now.
No.
that's a whole podcast in itself. But the Delta II, which was the medium lift rocket for, if I remember correctly, it was ULA. But before that, it was Lockheed Martin.
Sounds about right.
It was either Lockheed Martin or Boeing. I don't remember which one. It was Lockheed Martin, because Boeing was Atlas, right?
Okay. Maybe.
Yeah, sure. It was one of the two. Basically, it retired under ULA. So let's just talk about it. It was ULA's rocket. Built the GPS constellation that we know of today, except for the new edition that's coming on Falcon 9s, pretty much.
The upgrade to the existing constellation is a split award between both companies.
Yeah, it's a few companies. The previous, generation was pretty much all lifted out through the Delta II. It's launched, so many different NASA missions. The low Earth orbit launched Spirit and Opportunity on the Mars. It's so many
interplanetary missions. So many
missions. It's a work. Yeah. It was the workhorse for America for the longest time.
It really was.
It was also teal, which is awesome.
Not my favorite shade, but it works. It works for that rocket. Those pictures people have put out of a Delta IV Heavy in that shade of blue.
Because that was the original color. It was supposed to be teal. Delta 3 and Delta 2 was teal. And I'm like, that would have been awesome. But it makes sense that it's orange.
I like the orange.
Mm-hmm. So
I like the orange.
Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex has a rocket garden. And after the retirement of Delta 2, was it ISAT was the last mission? Or was it a GPS mission that retired on?
I believe it was ISAT. That sounds right.
Okay. Back in, 2018, I think it was.
For what?
The last mission. I think it was 2018.
I'm sitting in front of my computer. Why don't I just look this up?
I don't know if they had a full rocket left or they just had spares, but ULA is had a deal with the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex, Delaware North, who's the company that owns and operates that. Or operates it to put this in the rocket garden, as long as with a newer attraction that's coming around it. So it arrived to Cape Canaveral sometime last year. It got moved on rocket ship. They're the little boat they go that ULA has. They're a mighty navy of one ship.
But it is a mighty ship. It carried everything in ULA's launch family on
board. Yeah, pretty much. It was great. It was amazing. So it arrived sometime last year. It finally got delivered to KSC this week and was stacked. So they stacked the first stage, came in two parts. And then not normally, but for this one it did. Usually the first stage is one part, but for this process it was two. The second stage, and then the fairing on top, as well as I think he had three solid rocket boosters. I don't know if they're adding more or not. I think they've said it's completed with three. Which
I am double checking stuff because I don't want to sit here saying I don't know or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know what the final thing is, but we'll actually get reached out. I've already reached out to them about seeing it. So
it could max out at 9.
Yeah, I remember it could do 9. I think it's it has 3.
If it was the Caster 4A SRBs, it maxed out at 9.
They're quite big. I don't think you'd actually even fit 9 of these on there, but yeah. How big the solid rocket models they have on there. But right. It's stacked. It towers over everything.
To be fair, that Saturn 1B is laying down. So
true. That is valid. if it wasn't on its side, it would tower over everything, but that would just be insane. The only thing taller
I'm glad it's laying on its side.
Yeah, the only thing taller right now is the SRB. The space shuttle stack that's out there. SRBs and the external tank. Right. So that's the only thing taller. It's awesome to see some teal out there. I saw some photos from like further away because you can see that thing, the external tank, for miles.
Oh, yeah.
Around the Space Ghost. And so now you can see the orange of the tank and a little bit of teal off to the side. So
nice. Nice.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool. I'm looking forward. I'm heading down there for Sun and Fun air show in Lakeland, and I actually have I get in. I have to check the time of my flight, but I think I have like Sunday where I can just go. I can get in and just quickly go somewhere. So
nice.
I might be heading, renewing my annual pass, and heading to go see the Delta. If not, I will do it that week sometime. So
yeah, I got to do the same thing. I'm not sure when I'll get back there again, but I got to renew my annual pass too. And yeah, I will be checking out that Delta, especially because I'm so glad they did this. And you made mention of it a second ago. My apologies if I cut you off on it, but yes, they put the shark teeth on the fairing.
Yep. And you know the history of that, right?
For those who don't know, go ahead and explain it.
I don't remember the details. I know it is a, fighter squadron that they, we're honoring with doing that when they built the Delta II, and that's why they have it. I don't know the full details, though.
It was, I know I've seen that paint job on, I believe it's A-10 Warthogs.
Yes.
That had them.
There was also World War II planes that had them. It was a squadron in World War II, I believe, that I think had them on there. There was someone tweeted out that they didn't like it because they didn't put the Air Force logo on it. They only put the NASA logo, and apparently Delta II's never launched a NASA payload with the shark teeth on it. I don't care. It looks awesome. It's like a little shark.
I would love to see things like that come back in style with launches.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of flair and a paint job.
I hope they paint starships like B-25s where they were in World War II, like with the girls on the side, give them all names and
like if these are going to be reusable vehicles like the shuttles were, give them names.
I would love to see them. You can even give names
to the Falcon 9 boosters.
Paint jobs, yeah. Like, well, they give names to the capsules.
It's a good start, but I mean,
yeah,
you can name these boosters as well. Just some kind of fun, like even an internal name. Tell us that you're doing that just for, company morale, something like that.
Do you call the Dragon that will be launching Crew 2? Do you call it Dragon Endeavor? How do you refer to it? Because I call it Dragon Endeavor. Space Shuttle Endeavor. I call it Dragon Endeavor. Are you going to call it Dragon CS206? I think it's a serial name.
You know, I haven't had to refer to it in conversation, so I haven't come across that yet.
Yeah, I've been referring to it as Dragon Endeavor, and then we have Dragon Resilience up there right now. So that's how I've been referring to it, though.
Wasn't it you who came up with the thing calling it Dragon Ship?
I don't remember. Maybe. I don't know. I don't remember. I remember saying that sometime on Reds.
We'll chalk that one up to you, but no, it's great to see that kind of stuff.
Until someone on Twitter who actually came up with it says like, oh no, I came up with it. No.
yeah. But no, it's great to see that they're coming up with like, cool names and things like that for these things and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, doing paint jobs on the fairings. I'd love to see that come back. So, Cory Bruno has said maybe the first Vulcan will get the cool paint job from the renderings and whatnot, but after that, probably not.
It needs to at least have like the Vulcan like from Star Trek, like like emblem or something like that, or have the hand signal, or I don't remember my Star Trek lore that well, but the actual like flag of Vulcan or whatever.
Well, no, everybody knows the Vulcan salute. It was the hand signal. So if somebody would be really cool.
You just gotta paint it on the hand. Just like put your hand up against it and like draw it with a pen on the booster. I'm sure no one would care.
No, here's an even cooler one. For everybody that worked on Vulcan, right, for the very first one that's going to launch, every employee dips their hand in paint and then does a palm print of the Vulcan salute somewhere on the launch.
Okay, I like that. On the fairing? That'd be cool, like on the fairing or something. Where it's going to be white.
Somewhere, see it?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Back to Delta 2 real quick, because I want to talk about this.
Yes, go ahead.
Do you think Delta 2 was a little bit above it, like too soon, because Electron's neutron rocket is the same size and same payload capacity of the Antares, because it's going to be used in the Antares pad, right. But it's also the very similar payload capacity. I think it's very similar. I think it's about a couple of tons. To low Earth orbit was also the Delta 2. And with all these small sat launchers and constellations of small sats, Delta 2 could be a really reliably competitive option.
Do you
think if ULA brought back Delta 2, like maybe like the Delta 2E, where it was like upgraded to be cheaper and stuff like that, do you think that could possibly be something that's competitive commercially?
I don't think so anymore, because the void in the market that Delta 2 left is filled. There's other launchers out there that can do it now.
Yeah, but it was like the OG, like that. It was the medium launched vehicle, which is what Electron is saying, which is needed, a medium lift launcher that's cheap and reliable and stuff like that. Maybe Delta 2 could have been ULA's market into the commercial space launch, because they don't do commercial space launch; they only do government contracts. So I don't know. They do actually do commercial. Sorry, they do Starliner and Dream Chaser. So those technically are commercial. But
as long as they paint them cool and still make them look awesome, I don't care.
Maybe we need the shark to come back on Vulcan. Maybe that's what we just need.
Interesting side note about that. I think it was earlier today or yesterday. I saw a tweet where there is a Soyuz being assembled right now, where instead of being the green and gray, the drab Russian colors, there is a nice blue and white one being assembled right now. It's really great. It's just a paint job, but it looks great, because it's just so different from the Soyuz that everybody knows.
Imagine if like Falcon 9 was black or something.
I mean, like, most of them already are. So
well, yeah, true. They all are pretty black. Okay, well, that's fair. Yeah. Let's get into the final news story, which is our great friend SLS, your hometown hero.
It is built right here in New Orleans.
So, New Orleans, not Mississippi, New Orleans. We talked about this before. You're upset that people are telling it is built in Mississippi.
Oh, my gosh.
it is built. Kind of funny.
It is. All right.
Well, okay. To be fair, the upper stage, the current upper stage built by ULA is built in, actually, it's built in Alabama. But.
So, it is.
Right, technically, look, it's not built at all. I don't know, but engines are made here in Florida. I don't remember, but
no, those are made somewhere way out west. RS-25s by Aerojet Rocketdyne. Yeah,
I know they have built out west. They have a major facility here in Florida. I remember they used to be built here in Florida. I don't know if they still are.
Let me straighten this out for folks real fast. Okay, the core of SLS built here in New Orleans at the Michoud Assembly Facility. Which is run by Marshall Space Flight Center in Alabama. So for folks who watch that 60 Minutes report last Sunday night, which was done really well, by the way, made it seem like it was built in Alabama. No, it's built here in New Orleans, run by Marshall out of Alabama, test fired in Mississippi, sent over to Florida. And the SRBs are built in Utah.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Promontory. Yeah. Yep. But speaking, good segue. Speaking of the boosters, they finished stacking this week. The for people who don't understand the process, it shares a lot. It's an evolved racket from the shuttle, so it takes a lot of its processes from the shuttle. They put the boosters on first onto the mobile launch platform because they provide all the structural strength for the rocket. For shuttle, you had the four segment boosters, then the tank, and then the orbiter. For this, it's going to be the five segment boosters, the core stage, and then the upper stage, and then Orion. So that is fully completed. I think they have till like January to launch it. We'll see until they have to do inspections on the seals of the SRB boosters. That's why this is kind of like a last thing they kind of plan to do is start stacking, because it puts a date on the launch time. So I think it's around January or February they have to launch before they have to do inspections.
Yeah.
And according to NASA, they're still on track for that time frame. I don't think they would knowingly do it if they know they're not going to make the time frame. But so right now we're waiting on the final green run hot fire for the core stage. The second one, which will take place, they just also announced this week, will take place next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You excited about that? Because remember, it wasn't.
No, because
was
I will be there.
It was a little underwhelming, I think. When we all it was fun, but underwhelming.
The way that the test went, yeah, it was really disappointing. It only went for like 67 seconds when they were expecting to go the full 8 minutes. They were going to run it dry, So there was that. All the hoo-ha that came around afterwards with everybody saying, oh, cancel SLS, it's wrecked, and yada yada. And, with all of the people that came out there to see it, like, I was on some country road where there's no buildings around for miles, and I found this one spot on, like, the northeast side of the test center, and I had a view of like the top half of the test stand. I can make out the top half of the core stage. And I don't know if it's just the fact that I was there or if other people knew, but there was a crowd around me by the time it went off. And all these people were just so excited to see it. It was really cool. And yeah.
Did it live up to the hype though for the sound or no?
Surprisingly, no.
Yeah. That's what I've been told. Cause I don't feel, the RS-25, I don't think aren't extremely loud engines. It's more the SRBs is where it gets all the
SRBs are loud. And the crazy thing is there were news reports locally here in New Orleans talking about it, talking about the engine firing that was supposed to go on. And they said you would hear it all the way over across state lines in New Orleans. It's only about 40, 50 miles away. It might be faint, but you could probably hear it. And yeah. I know people who live in quiet parts of the city, a good distance away from Stennis Space Center. They didn't hear squat.
Yeah.
And I was right next to it. I was the same distance away I am for launches in Florida. And I'm like, what? That was it? So I guess the one thing they've improved on all these years is the sound suppression system. Because let me tell you, that sound was suppressed.
That was a lot of water they were dumping in there. So I'm not surprised. So, yeah. So we're looking at hopefully end of next week they can, approve that. Well, be Thursday. It'll probably not be like till the week after they approve it.
Right.
Or finish looking through the data. Could also, they did say they wanted to have the core stage out by February or in February. They had some valve issues. They had to replace delays and whatnot. So, yeah. Hopefully we see. I mean, I think when we came into 2021, we were all just like, and SLS is launching this year. And I think they're still on track possibly for one this year, but
SLS is going to fly.
we're on the final stretch. Like we are so close. So
at this point, it is pointless to cancel it. I mean, you've already got the second core stage. It's already, you know, ahead of the schedule as far as the first core stage, you know, in the production process.
The second core stage will possibly be going through, I think it's called, it's mating the liquid oxygen tank, the liquid hydrogen tank, as well. You're mating those with the intertank. I don't know why they call it the intertank. It's not a tank. It's like a it's a skirt that connects the two. And so they don't have a common dome like Starship does, where they just have one dome between the two. They have their own domes. So yeah, that they're possibly be going through that next week. So
yeah, but it's coming along. SLS will fly. Sorry, haters. SLS will fly. This is another podcast in and of itself, but you know, there is no need for the hate of SLS. There really isn't.
Yep.
You know, it's different from others, and it's monstrous too. I mean, this isn't some little.
Come on, guys. We like rocket. Orange rocket good. Come on, orange rocket good.
All orange rockets good.
All orange rockets are good.
Yes.
With that, we are already like almost an hour in, which we haven't done in a long, long time. So I just looked at the time and like, oh my gosh, I have to edit an hour long podcast now. So this will probably be coming out tomorrow. So when you listen to this, it'll be Sunday. So the launch already would have happened tonight, hopefully, possibly.
Yeah.
If not, I'll just edit that out and it'll sound like it's happening tonight. Sunday night. So, thank you everyone
listen for details next week. We'll fill you in on all the details of it.
Yep, and we're getting close to Ruds as well. So hopefully that will return.
Yes.
So follow us. You can follow there at Ruds Podcast. For the past couple months, it's kind of been a troll Twitter. whenever I see someone talk about a Rud, I always like switch over to that on TweetDeck and like tweet something like. So like, hey, well, Ruds are only great when they're like an hour long and they talk about space news. Like,
I saw that. That was good.
We played the Eli with that one. We got a decent amount of followers after that one. So that was fun. So you can follow us at Ruds Podcast if you want to see more of us coming in the future. Otherwise, you can follow me at Seth Kirk, SCTHKURK. And you can follow Daryl at
Sausse Images, SAUSSE Images.
Nice. And you can listen to us on, of course, all your major podcasting streaming services, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast. And we'll see you guys all next week. See ya.